Jai Srila Prabhupada. Actually, there is a nice explanation in the nowadays psychology, sciences, about metacognitive approach. Metacognitive means, you know, not just to see something from one only point of view, but trying, you know, to get the perception of the object of our cognition, you know, from different sides and also from different times. So the paradigm space and time should be really, you know, how say, used altogether. Because in this way, you know, we have a very large and 360 degrees views. So, and exchange opinions, that's actually, you know, it is all the matter of the Upanishads. Sun King, with this, a lot of problems, he met many Brahmanas, you know, I would say professional Brahmanas, they couldn't solve this problem. But by meeting some other transcendentalists, some other spiritualists, some sadhu, real sadhu, you know, not professional sadhu, but real sadhu experience, like jnana and vijnana. Vijnana is the experience, the science, you know, got solved these problems. So the problems are solved when we can see things from different points of view. Of course, they must all be spiritually authorized by our acharyas.
I have a very, very, very great interest in what you have just suggested. I do know that Albert Einstein, in his research, was not satisfied with looking at things from only one perspective. And he said, humanity cannot solve its problems on the level of knowledge and understanding on which these problems were created. They have to take a meta perspective. And now where you introduce this subject of meta perspective and metacognition, I'm really, really intrigued. Just yesterday, I had a discussion with Germany's biggest yoga center. They built a whole village. The streets there are called yoga path or yoga street and so on. They have understood, while being together, mostly referring themselves to the yoga tradition, that they cannot move forward in their understanding if they just stay with their level of cognition, with their understanding. And therefore, we have founded yesterday a league of yoga, a coalition of yoga, and we have defined a few paradigms which we feel are necessary, like good ethical conduct is extremely important, not misusing the position of a teacher in order to, you know, exploit people. A few such ethical rules, but we are hoping that we will soon be able to engage scientists, historians, and others in the discourses so that we can really come to what you have introduced as
eclectic.
Yes, eclectic. Really very interesting.
An eclectic satsanga.
Eclectic satsanga.
How many Germany people are doing with this COVID-19?
Yeah, it's just, I would like to say two things. People are getting restless because of the restrictions, And a lot of demonstrations happen. For instance, in Stuttgart, there were 12,000 people on the street demonstrating against the restrictions. And so not such large numbers, but also in Hamburg and Berlin and everywhere, they feel that their democratic rights are limited. But on close inspection of the people who demonstrate against, you can see that many of these people who are demonstrating against are not really concerned about COVID-19. They just want to demonstrate and finish the old system. It's the type of people who go to any demonstration. The main point is, whatever the government says, we are against it. So it's not so much a solution oriented people, because I don't think the government is the problem or anything is a problem. It's the consciousness, the problem goes much, much deeper. So in answer to your question, how are the people in Germany doing? They are becoming restless. They're going on the streets. In many cases, their arguments on the streets are not so good. We need to go much, much deeper. And I think your subject of metacognition is really necessary now.
I would like to add the most inner meaning of yoga, which is a sense of a measure, not too much, not too little, you know. That's the measurement. That's a question of equilibrium, of balance, you know. It looks like that nor government nor the general people have this kind of a measurement, this kind of equilibrium. To be a little warned about the risk of the COVID, you know, of the pandemic phenomenon, it is required a sense of a measure, a sense of equilibrium, no? Because yoga is equilibrium. That's the meaning of yoga explained by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. If someone is exaggerating and maybe using as a pretext to use the limitations of the coercion, you know. And the other take, you know, this abuse of authority, abusing by themselves. I mean, they are facing two different kinds of abuses, you know. Both of them, both of the sides are abusing their power to force people to do something or to protest, you know, because they don't want to be forced over measure, with exaggeration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yes.
People have very strong difficult to find the measure. That's the meaning of yoga.
Yes, yes. It's very interesting. When COVID-19 happened, I was requested to make a statement from the spiritual perspective, and I introduced really this concept. I think the cause of this pandemic is a lack of balance on all levels,
Exactly.
For instance, how we deal with nature, there is an imbalance. How we deal amongst ourselves, there is an imbalance. Everything has come out of balance. And already the Greek philosophers, who were maybe not directly concerned with the wisdom of yoga, understood that the nature, which they called the physis, always, under all circumstances, tries to bring everything back into balance. It always, that's the impulse, which is, so to say, in nature, to restore, to repair the broken balance and bring it back into balance.
Heraclito was that.
Yes. Oh, you know, yes.
Establish that principle.
Yeah, that is
the... Up and then go down. Right? Yeah. Goes down and up. After some time, it goes up.
Yes, yes. And we have always seen this principle of restoring the balance. We have seen, for instance, so many catastrophes, always coming from time to time to time, to almost make something like, we could call it tabula rasa, so that humanity can again try to write its meaning into the world. But yes, that is, so if one does not wish to be inconvenienced, if one does not wish to be corrected by nature, then one should do, in my understanding, take the wisdom of yoga and live a balanced life on its own, on one's own initiative, without being forced by the nature which starts to correct the imbalance. That is, I think, a very important concept. One who does not eat too much nor too little, one who doesn't sleep too much nor too little, one who is knowing the art of relaxation, not too much, not too little, and stays in this balanced position, which, in, as you know well, is described as sattva-gun, the mode of living which is mostly in harmony with the environment, with other human beings, and which is a good starting point to go and search for ultimate meaning, for one's relationship with the Supreme. Very nice that you see things also like this. And I do believe, if we can introduce this, the science of coming into the balance, then everything, then lesson is learned, and then nature doesn't have to beat us any longer.
Exactly. So while you are talking, you are telling me these things, we may take a lesson from the nature, especially because we are not respecting nature's laws. Because the law of nature are divine laws, because they are working under the supreme control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the contemporary people, let's say the 20th century's people, 21st century's people, you know, are looking at the nation without any respect, like just a reserve in without limit of materials or how say useful things, but only things, you know. So they self-service in a large store. So everyone take what they need without, you know, any consideration. Although there are fighting, not how to act, how to deal with the natures, material natures, but instead, you know, fighting among men, among people, among nations, how to take more, and more. So people are fighting with the predatory attitude, you know. And this mentality has destroyed the natural equilibrium. Has destroyed a lot of biodiversity, has destroyed, you know, the health of the nation. So now everything is polluted. The earth is polluted, the sky is polluted, the air is polluted, you know, the water is polluted, everything is polluted, even the food is polluted, because, you know, people are related with the material nature without any respect, you know. In the Greek world, as you just mentioned, people had very great respect to the nature. In the Vedic civilization, anything of from the nature was worshipped. This is not pantheistic view. This is a very realistic view. Carl Gustav Jung, in the one of his bestsellers, I think it was around 51 or something, 1951, something, 1950. The eye and the unconscious. You know, it is written that all disasters like the World War II and World War First, they have been caused by the loss of the spiritual view in the nature. Having exploited, having deprived, you know, the material nature of its spirituality. Its spirituality. It talks about the spirituality of the forest, the spirituality of the river, the spirituality of the mountains, the spirituality of the sky. So, having spoiled, you know, having destroyed the spirituality of the material nature, they became, so is saying Jung, the men, you know, the leaders in the world, they becoming scrupulousless. I mean, without any kind of piety, any kind of mercy, and especially the violence against the animals are killing, you know, the piety. Srila Prabhupada explains many times in his books, in our books, that killing the animals kill the mercy in the heart. You know, they can kill everyone, even parents or friends or no more friendship. This is the nihilism. That's not a fault of Nietzsche himself. He was describing what was happening, what will happen, you know. And now we are really inside this mentality. This mentality generated direct or indirectly COVID-19, many other disastrous situations. I just saw a few days ago a list of death causes. Still now, the great number is of those are killed by hunger.
By hunger?
Hunger, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because we are really disrespecting the material nature. Material nature should be not worshipped by itself, for itself, is idolatry. But if you understand that the material nature, this word in the Vaishnava philosophy is a cadeau in French, I would say in English, a present, is a gift of the Supreme Lord. It's a gift of the Supreme Lord. So it is his manifestation. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is really explained. This divine nature is my energy. So we are facing a lot of problems because we are part of the problems, and we should help people becoming part of the solution. So yeah. Our preaching should be all concentrated how to awaken people. You know, they are living a life full, like alienazione, instead. Yeah. Alienation, I don't know in English.
Alienation, yes, yeah. Alienation.
No, this kind of alienation is very dangerous. They went back, to build up a new generation of technology or weapons, but they have already enough to destroy hundreds of times, the entire planet. They are still working, spending a lot. China, America, some other nations. They are pushing in a foolish means, proprio crazy politics.
Yeah.
And these are creating directly or indirectly even COVID-19.
Yes.
Because bad habits, a very low behavior, merciless attitude, against many beings, living beings, also humans. This is an anti ecologist, anti-ecologist, because instead to be ecologist, they become egologic. The ego is in the center, and instead of echo means that we do something good, and we hear the echo. That means karma. If we do wrong, behave in a violent way, the violence come back. And so not only because COVID is created in a laboratory. I don't know that. But directly or indirectly, you are producing anyway COVID number, many number. Okay. This one is just one of the series.
I would like to contribute to your thought a principle that is explained in the Gita. Sada tat bhava bhavita. That means our existence is created by our mentality. This is a principle which holds true during this life, but it is so strong, this principle, that even if a person leaves the body, his next existence, his next station, so to say, on his evolutionary journey, which hopefully ends with the Supreme Lord. His next station is the totally controlled or fixed up by what consciousness he develops now. I would like to raise a question. What is more powerful than COVID-19? What is more powerful than the virus? What is more powerful than really anything? Governments, countries, anything in this world. And I think the most powerful is a thought. A thought which is also assisted by emotions, which is strong enough that it is not only rooted in the, let us say, cognition, it is also rooted in the emotion. I have seen this in relationship to the generation of my father. There was one thought which was brought into the consciousness of the people, that the Germans are the best, the highlight of evolution, and therefore they need a lot of space to populate the world in the best possible way. It was a thought which caused how borders were shifted around, and so on. It's also a thought which is deeply embedded, deeply rooted. I don't mean just the passing thoughts, or today is good weather, tomorrow is bad weather. These are passing thoughts. No, I mean some deep conviction with deep emotions that describes our individual reality and also our collective reality. So if one wishes to change something, I think we have a few things. We can start in our own thought process. We can work on that. We can, so to say, rewire our neurons, our neuron pathways, by learning to think differently. Synapses, yes. We can start there on an individual level, and then we have to see how we can also teach people, or inspire, I think it's better to use the word inspire people, so that they are also able to think in a new way with deep conviction. There must be emotion in it, otherwise it's passing. And that is something which I'm really very much concerned in my own life. And I have seen three things which help me to change my thought pattern and implant a thought which makes me, let me say it on one level, a very happy old man. And the second level is, which is more important, I feel I do make progress. I leave the old version of Satchinandan Swami and slowly create a new, better version of Satchinandan Swami. So I've discovered three things which I would like to share with you. The first is, I feel philosophy, deep philosophy, which has this metacognition, which is not so limited and narrow, shows us a direction. Then, when we meet people who live it, who are very inspiring examples of their philosophy or their belief, it does something in our heart. We become encouraged. Yes, I can also do it. And finally, I feel to change the old thoughts and get a new thought inside, it's very, very good if one practices a discipline which helps one to conquer the lower impulses, which are always there, and be in contact with all these spiritual things like compassion, seeing the big picture, the ability to sacrifice for something that is better, devotion to the creator who created all this. So these three things, philosophy, people who are examples, and finally, a spiritual practice that helps one to get rid of the negative tendencies and develop the more spiritually favorable, conducive attitudes are very, very important to create a new thought. Because I think it is clear the solution does not lie on one extreme side of the spectrum, nor does it lie on the other extreme side. This will always remain, these two sides will always fight and create an imbalance in one way or another. The solution really lies in developing a new thought, and which is so deeply rooted, like the roots of a big banyan tree, which go really down. And that, I believe, is the purpose of all wisdom traditions. That's the purpose of bhakti, to create really a new thought, which in Sanskrit is called bhava. A mood, something that pervades everything of you.
Actually, it is a question of renewing every day, every rise of the sun, refresh our consciousness, our capability, inspiration to see the world in a new and fresh way any morning. I mean, and the Gayatri, you wrote a wonderful book on Gayatri, you donated to me, you gave me as a gift. Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. So the Gayatri is, as it is said in the Rig Veda, the sage people, the wise people are just waiting that time, clean, dancing, chanting, and purified, you know, because they coming of the aurora, I would say, the aruna, no? Aruna.
Yes.
The coming bring I would say, gifts. These gifts are taken by those who the Aruna find clean, chanting and dancing. Not the others. It is repeated three times. Not the others. I mean, these gifts are not of the others. So, of course, the Rishi didn't want to make a separation for cruelty, you know, but are indicating that we have to do our job, our work. We have to take our responsibility. That's a sadhana bhakti. Through the sadhana, our thoughts become purified. By sadhana, our desires become purified. Through sadhana, on the virtue of sadhana, on the strength of sadhana, our vision of the world becomes purified. And when the method, I would say, the praxis becomes stronger, becomes stronger, it is a natural stressless method, way, you know. It's a way of life, you know. It becomes so natural, like to take breath, to breathe, you know? breathing, or just to wash in the morning, you know. We have some kind of difficulties because of bad habits. So the only obstacle to get to become happy and really anandamaya vyasat, the only obstacle is our habits. Those habits are deeply rooted in us. You explained before as the thoughts that are rooted in the dark mind, the deep mind, you know, which can be, can't be seen by ordinary vision, but through, you know, a method which is the radical, the root, the Sanskrit root of dhyana. Yeah. This is the way how to free our desires, how to free our thoughts from the, how say, samskaras, from the conditioning forces, which are deposited in the Karmashaya. Karmashaya is the modern translated unconscious mind. No? Freud the first, Jung after, you know, all the school, Erich Fromm, Reich, Adler, and others, they explained, you know, how, you know, this unconscious mind is actually controlling, you know, managing the conscious mind. So it is a revolution. It is actually a revolution. It is an actual revolution. It is, I'll say, anthropological revolution, cultural revolution. How do you know to upside down the conscious mind, you know? And it is not possible without sadhana bhakti. It is not possible through a method, you know, a discipling, you know. In the beginning, we know, could get some hardness, but then it becomes, smooth, and it becomes a way of life, a lifestyle. And this revolution is the major tool to improve our society, because we can't hope that society become better shaped if we don't start by ourselves. By ourselves is Swadharma. Every one of us has to take his own responsibilities. Is on sadhana, you know, because of guna and karma combination, guna and karma mixer, you know, chaturvarnam mayashistan guna karma vibhagasya. So in this way, you know, people can easily work easily. I'll say, but according to the imprinting they have been taken by birth. Karananguna sangasya satta sat yoni janmasu. So we can understand that every one of us comes to birth, you know, with some conditions, you know, very conditioned by samskaras. And the life, Prabhupada explained many times, is meant to purify those samskaras, because we are naturally Krishna consciousness, spontaneously, authentic, bona fide, but our problems are the bad habits that bringing back. I would say we are carry with us, you know, birth after birth, death after death. We have to live those imprintings, you know, they are against our evolution, our spiritual fullness. So I appreciate very much what you said, because although different languages, you know, we can come to the same point, you know, we have really to purify our thoughts. We have to purify our desires. We don't need to kill all desires, you know, or habit. Just those we have to kill, or not to kill, to transform. That's better, no? Parinama. Yeah. Parinama is a transforming force, you know. This is transforming force. We can succeed by transforming the ugra karma or something like that, you know, the anartha, kama, lobha, moha, matsara, and so on. We can transform in spiritual behavior, because we are that behavior, that spiritual behavior. We are authentically, I would say, when we are bona fide, we are spiritually moved. When we are contaminated, we feel ourselves heavy, deprived of energy, conditioned, hopeless, and so on.
I very, very, very much like how in our discussion we come to the point, what can we do? Because when we look at COVID-19, or we look at the many different places where the world has gone out of balance, something which could happen is that a sense of hopelessness, a sense of powerlessness, a sense of discouragement could come over us. But if we understand this principle, that it is possible to change, so to say, our inner attitude, our thoughts, by a spiritual practice, and then everything will change around us, or it will have a positive effect. We will give an example to others, and things change. When there's a change of heart, everything changes. Everyone knows this very simple guideline. And you also have said very nicely that this, we need to give it some attention, because our habits might come and pull us back to the old and harmful way of thinking and acting. And I believe you gave me in our last discussion the example of Robespierre, was his name Robespierre, who went to Paris to abolish the death penalty.
Yeah.
And then he got caught up in the French Revolution, and he invented the guillotine, the most effective way people knew at that time to kill someone, and to kill many people, one after the come, chuk, boom, next one, boom, chuk, and so on. So he had not really managed to change his consciousness, and therefore the same thing he wanted to get rid of, that is to punish or kill people, he was the instrument of more of such deaths. So that is something I really appreciated. In our spiritual tradition, the one which there is a very nice way to advance in the consciousness, And I would like to share it with you. But let me just see. When one wants to change one's consciousness or one's heart and change one's whole life, there are 5 steps, which I think are just genius 5 steps. One first needs to hear.
Listening.
Yes, listening. Shravana Dasa, it's called. Listening.
The most powerful devotional service.
Yes. Then, after doing a lot of Shravana Dasa, one comes to Varana Dasa, which means to accept, oh, this makes sense, this makes sense. And one also, in the process of Varana Dasa, the second level, one can easily, one accepts spiritual guides. Then the next level comes. And here is where we all know one needs to give very special attention. It's the level of, it's called variously Sarana Dasa, the level of practice. Because only by practice, regular practice, new habits are created and old habits are put to the side. It's the only way.
They are transformed.
Yeah. So practice includes also Smarana Das. One needs to remember, I have heard this. It made so much sense. Let me go by this thing. So both Sarana Dasa and Smarana, Smarana remembering, are put together, are very much put together. And here comes my point. I believe very much in deep meditation. And soon I will be able to give you my new book. It's called Magical Minutes, 16 Meditations, which are offered. They are on Gayatri. They are very, very nice also for people who are not familiar with the Vaishnava tradition. They can immediately make an experience. So after practicing and remembering the insight, the wisdom, comes a beautiful station in the spiritual advancement. The stage of practicing gives us often the highest rewards. We feel so happy, but it also sometimes shows us the things where our dark habits are still in there. And so a person on that level should not be surprised if one day he feels he's enlightened and the other day he feels, oh, there's still some work to be done. One should know this before so that one is not shocked. When you clean a room which was not cleansed for many years, don't be surprised if some extra amount of dirt shows up. So then comes Apana Das, you achieve something, you see it. You are gifted the real transcendental gifts, the spiritual gifts. Even while you are here in this world, you always see not just the things, but behind the things, the source from where they come. You have the complete picture, so to say. You have a vision which is a divine vision. And then comes the Prapanadas, the highest state, where you are actually a resident of the spiritual world. There is one very nice saying. All the bona fide spiritual traditions speak the same language. Maybe they come from the same country. So when you are in the spiritual, when you are, let us say, on the fifth stage, you're back in your country, in your original country, the spiritual world, the spiritual dimension. So these are some guidelines, and I so much appreciate Matsya Avatar, the wisdom which you bring to this discussion, that no, we are not helpless, we are not powerless. There is something which we can do. We can work on our insight by practice, and we can change our life. And we all know when the effect of the avalanche, one stone begins to roll, then another stone is moved and starts to roll, then four stones, eight stones, it can, but without this work, which starts really in my own thinking process, it is so important to do it. We have to always do it. Like I was a little late today for the discussion because I was sitting and I was doing my own work by meditating about what is at the moment most important for me. It is the change of the ego identity to the real identity, the spiritual identity. Yes, this I wanted to contribute to this discussion.
So what you are saying about the thoughts, I would like to offer, just in the offering spirit, the source of thoughts are not they themselves. They, let's say, ontogenical view, desires. Because from the unconscious mind, let's call in its Sanskrit name Karmashaya, they are rooted as pure energy, emotions, energy. When they come up to the surface, they have no name. They are just energy. This energy is bringing a kind of a taste. So then we call that desire for X, Y, Zeta, and so on. But before that, have no name. It is just energy. Energy can become angry, can become jealousy, can become enviousness, and so on. But it is ourselves that we are giving these names to that energy. And because of that energy that we call emotions, emotion in the first time, in the birth, let's say, you know, they already exist, but they exist without names. When they comes from the unconscious mind, the deep state of the mind, through the subliminal process and comes to the conscious, so we become conscious by thoughts. Those thoughts are not ex nihilo. They are generated by this energy. And these energies, you know, to those energies we give some names. So this is the first stage of knowledge. Nama knowledge, then there is Rupa knowledge, then seven kind of knowledge explained in Yoga Sutra Patanjali, like seven bhumis. Those bhumi are different stages of knowledge. The first is name knowledge. We give to that desire a name and becomes thoughts. Then the second becomes rupa. So it take it is shaped by our application of consciousness to this energy. So now is Namarupa. This word is Namarupa, name and shape. Then Vibhuti. Vibhuti means bioenergy, because it is not just pure energy of the unconscious mind. This is the energy but related to our guna and karma, because you are not just abstract spiritual beings. We are incarnated, we are incarnation. In our incarnation, we have bioenergies. So this Vibhuti is its own energy. You know, anything we perceive as thoughts as its own energy. Anything, different thoughts, different energy, different energy, different emotions. We call them emotions. So thousands of years ago, it's been, very nicely exposed in a really, really scientific treatise of Patanjali in this kind. It is already explained in the first of the fourth book, of the four books, in Samadhipada, but then in Sadhanapada, then in Vibhutipada, then in Kaivalyapada. But Patanjali takes care for all his works, all his work. The Patanjali Yoga Sutra takes care how to deal with this energy. That's also another meaning of yoga. So Ashtanga Yoga is very nice because people are taken from the lower stages, like the stage of understanding. Atha significa now, first, you have to understand, and because you have to understand, you must understand yama and niyama. So, how the world is working? Because if you don't know how the world is working, you are failing. I mean, you are failing in everything. You know, you must know how the world is working, the triguna working, and so on. So yama and niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So samadhi is the last level which can be got even more quickly in devotion to God, in really dedicating life to God. Mamana, Baba Matmato, Mami Ejima, Namaskar. So to be one with God in the sense of to complete service, maybe can be the most rapid and the most easy way for some kind of people who really is more inclined, to the emotions, to the to practice, the way of the Bhakti Yoga. But still, we can understand that there are other ways which are going deeper in jnana understandings, technical understandings. And also in that way, like Patanjali, that is not devoid from God consciousness and from devotion to God. It in the Samadhi Pada, the 16, 17, 18 of the sutras, it said Ishvara Pranidhana. Ishvara Pranidhana is based also of the Patanjali Yoga Sutra. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita is the best, is the real way. But still, to understand. The same problems are dealt also in Bhagavad Gita when he's saying, in the third chapter, starting from Shloka 17, Arjuna is inquiring how, is asking, I don't know why, even without desiring it to act in a bad way, one feels find himself to act wrongly anyway. So Krishna Kama Isha Kodesha Javuna Samubala. So he's explaining that they, that, I mean, in this case, Arjuna has to take care what he is desiring, what he is thinking, what he is saying, everything what he is doing, because those energies are obliging him, forcing him to, like, in a wrong way. So you started from the thoughts. That's okay, you know. Thoughts are generated by desires, and thoughts generate after, you know, vichara. Vichara, vichara means a reflection. Speculate about himself, in the inner self, with a dialogue with himself, with ourselves. You know, vichara is very good also to develop our unconscious, confused idea.
Yeah.
We can take occasion to offer everything. So that's why the Vaishnava Acharya's songs are so often offered to the mind. My dear mind, please, Bajauremana. My dear mind, please accept the lotus feet of the child Krishna. So the mind, or manasasiksha. So those works are really written by those who understood very well what we are talking about.
Wonderful. While you were talking, this very important contribution, we need to understand how the world works, otherwise everything will be a failure. While you were talking like this, and then explaining the world through the vichara of Patanjali, I was reminded of something which I want to show you. I have requested my assistant to just, while we were talking, to find this.
Right, thank you.
Look, when you look at this image, it's a buttercup. Like a cake. You might feel very attached. Oh, I want to eat this. But if you look at the recipe, so much butter, so much sugar, 3 raisins, yeast to make it come up, you are no longer attached. This is not, your mouth is not watering when you see this recipe, but when you only see what your senses show you, a cake, you feel, I must have.
the Rupa effects.
Yeah, the effect of the Rupa.
Consequences.
Yes. So in the same way, we were talking about our problems, the wrong habits which we have. That is when we see only the Rupa effect. But then
Vibhuti, you know, the Pavlov dogs.
Yes.
We're making the saliva, I would say.
Yes.
Because of the sound, because of the name, the sound is a name, and it became the rupa of the food. So the chemicals, you know, inside started to not produce or the digestive chemicals.
Yeah, right. But so, if
I'm just giving support to what you said, you know.
Yes, I understand. And if you have this vichar, if you have this beautiful explanation where you dissect the different parts of the experience, and you know, here it came from the Kamashayan, the unconscious field. It was an energy which came up, and then we gave it a name, anger or attachment, and then from there it took a form, and then there was energy. if we understand the world like this, we are not becoming so attached to it. We don't become so greedy after it. We don't become so mad and crazy and violate all the principles. So this Patanjali discussion is very useful. And in my study of the Bhagavatam, I have seen that Kapila Dev in the third canto explains the Ashtanga Yoga process because he wants to help his mother, who is so disturbed because her husband has left and who is so without, and Kapila wants to help his mother. His mother said, "My dear son, I'm tired of this material life. I don't want to be a slave of these this feelings any longer of attachment. Please help me." And then Kapila explains Sankhya, the philosophy where you put the different elements. Here it is this, this is this, this is this, like you have done so beautifully. And at the end, then he explains yoga, and then he explains bhakti, devotion to God. And then his mother, in the end, is totally pacified, is totally calm inside, is totally happy, full of ananda inside. And as a result, she
That the Lord Kapila is an incarnation of God, is an avatar, you know. So he's a Vishnu avatar while bringing up the theoretic side of the yoga, because yoga without Sankhya doesn't exist, couldn't exist, you know, without Sankhya. Sankhya is produced in the his first authentic bona fide Sankhya, not the Karikabhasha that the Asura Kapila Sura Sankhya, not the Kapila, because there are two Sankhyas, you know. In the European universities are mostly ruled by the Kapila Sura Sankhya. And I remember in few universities where I taught, I was giving some lectures and so on. So we discussed why they just have a Karika, but Karika means a commentary when you can get it, not the real revealed Sankhya. I was helped, you know, that professor to make a request to the university bibliotheque, I'll say.
Yes, okay. Yes, library.
You know, to get also the, but they couldn't find, so I provide through Prabhupada's books. So they don't know, you know, because they know only the Kapila Sura Samkhya, which is impersonal Samkhya, which is, splitted Purusha from Prakriti. But in the original Samkhya, you know, Purusha and Prakriti comes from the same source, the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the difference. And also, we have a very good work, although hard work, with the Western intellectuals, because they are really all inclined towards impersonalism. And so this kind of Samkhya gets more followers. So, like, you know, the Vedanta, I've been invited to give it three lectures in very important school in Milan, but they knew only the Shankara Bhasha, the Shankara Vedanta. They didn't know di Ramanuja Vedanta, Vishishta Advaita Vedanta. They just knew that, so we have, I mean, let's say that I feel encouraged, I feel inspired, you know, to have so much work to do. Because, you know, people appreciate, actually, you know, when we present, you know, in a gentle way, in a kind way, in a respectful way, that please look at me, dear professor, doctor, that the Vedanta, there are another one kind of the Vedanta, beside the Shankara Vedanta, there is also Vishishta Advaita Vedanta, which is really, you know, at least you must know both, you know, like in the court cases, you have to hear both sides, not just one side, you know. So in case of a Vedanta, you have the duty to hear, listen to the other Vedanta, you know, because both are commentary, you know. Vedanta means Uttara Mimamsa, distinct from Purva Mimamsa or Karma Mimamsa. So this Uttara Mimamsa means like gospel, New Testament. The New Testament is the Vedanta respectively to the Karma, because they are both in the Shadarshana, Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. Uttara Mimamsa is the Vedanta. The Vedanta is two schools, mainly two schools. That which is more known in the West is Shankara Vedanta. Advaita Vedanta is called. But there is also Vishishta Advaita Vedanta, which is also Dvaita Vedanta, but is Saguna Brahman. And the other one, the first one, the Shankara's one, is Nirguna Brahman. So this is the differences. They have a very large effect on the human personalities, because without God, with God or without God, everything changes.
Yeah.
Just asking, you know, you already have made so much effort for your culture, you are very renowned professor, you know, you are I'm talking with you because, you know, I know that you have a lot of high culture. So why, you know, you don't investigate also the other Vedanta? Which one? There is another one. Oh yeah, I saw it is a saint of South India, Ramanuja. Oh yeah, but you never read the Vishishta Advaita Vedanta. No, please take the occasion. And yeah. We can talk more deeply. We can, make a confrontation, not with the fighting spirit, but in order to get more understanding.
Yeah. And what I have really seen that. Everyone looks ultimately for shelter, really. I see this now with my old father. He's 95 years old and he's in the hospital, and he does not know if he will be able to leave the hospital. He might die. He has a lung infection, not related to the pandemic, is just a lung infection. And at this moment, it is such a natural impulse of him to turn towards the ultimate shelter, to turn towards God. And I remember one poem by the Saint Mirabai. If you wouldn't be there, why do I feel this longing for you? Why do I feel this deep, deep, deep desire to find your shelter? And I really want to congratulate you that you are bringing this side of the Vedanta, which is as important as the other in the intellectual field. But when it comes to living a life and finding refuge and shelter, then even this Uttara Mimamsa, where the source behind everything, the beautiful Lord who holds all this, the energies which create everything in his hands, then this is maybe even more helping a person. I do remember that once when Shankaracharya was explaining his Bhasya to a big crowd, he felt the taste of milk in his mouth. And then he remembered, my mother. And he, by his potencies, immediately went to the mother who was on the deathbed. The mother was dying, and he had given his mother a promise that, please allow me to leave you to become to spread the Vedic knowledge. And the mother said, yes, I will give you the permission, but when my time comes where I die, please come and help me at this moment. So now, when Shankaracharya first felt the taste, he knew his mother had somehow entered his thoughts, and he immediately reacted and found his mother dying. So then he explained the impersonal understanding of the world, where you only see the different elements which bring it together, and you have an idea how to become free from the big energy that works always at you and influences you. So he was explaining this type of philosophy, and then the mother said, my heart is not satisfied when I hear this. I do not find a refuge. And you know that behind all this, there is the source of the energy. So then Shankaracharya immediately sang this beautiful hymn to Lord Keshava, to the Lord who's there in the heart of everyone and who is living also in the spiritual kingdom. And as he was singing this Keshava Ashtakam, a song in 8 verses, all of a sudden the room lit up with a supernatural light, and the Lord in his form of Keshava was there. And then the mother said, thank you very much, my caro filia, my dear son. And she was able to leave the body in great peace. This is one of the many stories which are told, but I think it makes this point of shelter, of refuge, of going to a place where you are certainly accepted, and where you are given help and by the one who can actually give help in all situations. So this Uttara Mimamsa, or the theistic explanation of Vedanta, is very important. And I do know that our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, was so eager, so he wanted this so much, that this is presented to the people. Here, see, this is also there. And I know you are extremely talented to present that in a language which takes the meta perspective, the big picture, into consideration.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I was thinking why you are telling the story of Shankara perceiving the milk taste in his mind. Actually, we are much, much more dependent from our mnestic traces, I would say, memory seeds, yeah. You know, then we think it would be enough free from the sensorial perceptions, you know, but they are very, very strong, eradicated, rooted in our unconscious mind. And for that, we must be really cautious, really prudent, because anything we do, it leaves a trace. It leaves,
Impression,
yeah. And those impressions are, in the beginning, just has been got by our panchendriyas, our five senses, you know. But then they go to the mind, then they go to ego, ahankara, then they go the impression goes to the buddhi, and then from the buddhi goes in the because till it's in the buddhi we can work on it, but when the leaves the buddhi and goes into the unconscious mind, it works independently from us. So we are, we are dependent from those influences that are coming over upon us without our knowledge, our knowing what is happening. So any experience we do, we must process any emotion, any impression, we must process because passing through the sense of perception, panchakarma indriya and panchajnana indriya, then to the manas, then to ahankara, then to buddhi, till the buddhi we can work on this impression. But when it goes behind the buddhi, it disappears in our radars, you know. So we are depending from things. So when it happens something, we are talking, we have to process what we are doing, you know, in such a way. My best way, I mean, that's how for me it is familiar, trying to offer what I'm doing, you know, just to be in a living spirit of offering. In this way, all the processes are processed, all the impressions are processed, and we keep ourselves clean by this process of consciousness. So let's say, I stop here. There are two kinds, the two stages, which are really very, very important. One, the first one is to be aware.
Yes.
Second, to be conscious. So without being aware, we can't be conscious. And if we are not processing all emotions, we can't become conscious. Because our awareness is of lower quality. Because we didn't scan, we didn't process all the passage of the impression. I'm looking a white swan. I'm watching two birds who are playing among themselves. I am watching, you know, someone giving bad words to someone else. So everything I'm watching, I'm sure it is going to leave a trace on myself. So to have a cognition to what is happening, you know, not only on the cognitive level, but also in the emotional level, also in the, so to be aware of what's happening, it makes it easy to change it, to purify it, to adjust, you know. If we are not aware, everything goes directly in the unconscious mind, in the sushumna structure of the psyche, and it will be really an enemy. We perceive as enemy, you know, but because we didn't give enough attention.
I'm so happy by what you say, that we need to first become aware, and then we need to process it in our consciousness, and then we can detach, really. Then we can go. When I was in India for a visit, maybe 15 or 17 years ago, I stayed in South India on a farm, and there was a monkey problem. So many monkeys were coming and eating bananas, fruits, and so on, that the farmer was forced to make some action against the monkeys. And what he did was genius. He took a pumpkin, took all the fruit or all the vegetable out of the pumpkin so that he only had the shell of the pumpkin. There was a hole, maybe this big, and then he tied the pumpkin on a tree and put a very roasted banana with good fragrance into the pumpkin. So then he waited. What happened is a monkey came smelling the smell of the very nicely roasted banana and putting his little hand through the hole into the pumpkin to grab the banana. Now, when he wanted to take the hand back, it was a fist. It was no longer like this. It was thick like this. And he couldn't bring it out. Now, this is a simple problem a human being would think. Let go of the banana, detach, and go into freedom. Freedom is much more important than this banana. You can have many, many, many bananas more, but you need your freedom for this. But the monkey could not process it. He was not aware. He was not conscious, as you say. And the farmer could catch the monkey. The monkey was tied on the tree and screamed, and all the other monkeys understood, oh, better we go to another farm. We will be captured here. So this, I think, is an analogy of us. If we don't become aware of what is happening, how are these impressions working in me, and how are they transforming into desires and habits and all, we will remain a slave. We will not move forward. Like that
unconscious slave.
Yes.
Unconscious slave. Even worse.
Yes.
Like a demon in the cave of Plato. Plato's cave, do you remember?
Yes.
You know? So they were unaware that there was a larger and beautiful world outside the cave, you know? They were slave, but unconscious slave.
Yes. And therefore, this beautiful conversation from which I have again learned a lot. I was there with my pen making notes because you always have so much deep, considered and spiritual thoughts based on the ancient wisdom of the Vedas. So, yes, we should not be unconscious slaves, because unconscious slaves put themselves into prison. We are unconscious selves are the jailers. These are people who grab people and throw them into prison. And unconscious slaves are also prisoners. They are both the ones who throw the people into the prison, and they are the prisoners, the victims. Yeah. So spiritual knowledge helps us to get the new understanding and so on. Matsya Avatar, it was a genuine pleasure, as always, to speak with you.
It was a pleasure for me too. And I think that if you like, we can continue sometime, you know, to meet and just discuss. And I feel that some people would like to listen our discussion and then take time to vichara, to make vichara, to reflect about.
I would really, really be not only pleased, I would be also honored. I'm pleased on a personal level because over the years, we really have a nice exchange. Whenever we come together, time is flying by. But it would also be a great honor because in all these years, I did make a lot of studies and trying to get a meta perspective and understand more deeper. And you're a person with whom I feel very confident to exchange these things. And therefore, it is highly rewarding for my own self. And please do know I will always have time for such type of things. It's a pleasure and an honor.
To do things... it is very blissful, very, very pleasant by itself. But to do things together is magic, is much more enthusiastic.
On this note, I think it's good to be aware of one's own contribution, and also on the aware of the contribution which the other, the friend, can make, and then it's very good to come together.
Sharing, knowing, is a satsanga.
I really feel that your absolute strength is to have a very deep and broad perspective, and you have done a lot of homework really to understand the Vedic tradition. And if I may say what I can contribute, I'm very much interested, since I started in Krishna consciousness, on a transformation, personal transformation, the transformation of others. And therefore, I have been interested to go in depth into the chanting, and I'm giving, I've written a lot about it, have given many retreats, meditation now, and so on. And in this way, I believe we have two sides which are really complementing each other and building a wonderful what you could call synergy. Synergy.
Yeah. That's the secret.
Yes, yes.
And synergy.
Yes, yes.
Because sharing is very important for our lives also.
Yes. Become alive. Become alive.
Yeah.
Thank you. All the best and Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Mohan. Hare Mohan.
Hare Mohan.
Hare.